Okay. Well, I really do apologize for getting so emotional this morning. That was not in my notes to do that, by the way. I promise you. The song that we were singing there, I Will Wait For You, you know, I just realized how desperate we are really for God and how desperate even our children are for God to move upon them to help them to see the reality of Scripture and the impact that it will have in their lives. And so, really desiring that. So if you were offended by it, I apologize. I don't know of anybody that was. I realized in singing that song, you know, I kind of stood here on the front and I found myself just kind of doing this, and that's the expectation of God. We need you. We need you to provide this. Please, Father, give this to us. And so thankful for this morning. I know that I did aggravate some people because did not fill out all of that handout. And I know that that is frustrating to so many people. One person did voice that to me afterwards, told me how frustrating that was that we didn't get all the way through that handout. And I know I'm getting in a bad habit of doing that. I'm trying to just slow down and not rush through things. So if I don't make it all the way through it, we're just going to pick it up the next week, because these things are important enough to spend some time on. And I'm trying just to not rush through in my preaching and work through the passage faithfully. Now, having said that, I want to come back to that topic tonight a little bit, and I don't really have anything to offer you on the handout part of it. And Sherry didn't say a word to me. I looked over there at her. She didn't say a word to me about not finishing the handout. It was somebody else. Very gracious, though. Very gracious. Now, I finished up using the example of Isaac and his willingness to be offered by Abraham, but there was another example that I wanted to draw your attention to about obedience, because, you know, that word obedience there, or obey, is a word that means, it's that compound word, to hear under. So they hear, you hear instruction, and you hear that instruction with the goal of understanding it and following it, obeying it. It's the word that is often translated in the New Testament, obey. So what I want to ask you to do is look at an example in the Old Testament. Have you all ever heard of the Rechabites? The Rechabites. I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, the 35th chapter. And here we see the example. You may even see it there at the top of the chapter. You have a heading there. I'll give you a chance to get to it. But in my Bible, it's the obedient Rechabites. Do you see it? Well, that's who I want us to take a look at tonight. And we may go a little beyond that. We'll see how our time goes. But let me pray for us. Father, I thank you again for the opportunity to open your holy word, the Bible, and hear it proclaimed. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to proclaim it. So, God, as your word goes out, please let us be taught by it. I pray that the Spirit of truth would lead us into truth tonight, that we'd be transformed by your word. And I thank you, Lord, that we can pray in the name of the one who was obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name I pray. Amen. All right, the obedient Rechabites. You guys know the context of Jeremiah. He had about a 50-year ministry in Jerusalem. He was there during the time when the three deportations took place from Jerusalem. 605, I know y'all know the dates on that. 605, 597, and 586, where the Israelites, by the Babylonians, were carried captive. And then ultimately in 587-86, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed. It was in that first going to Babylon in 605 that Daniel went. It was in 597 that Ezekiel went. And those two guys had ministry in Babylon while Jeremiah is prophesying in Jerusalem. Thing okay? Okay, thank you. All right, so So you got Jeremiah prophesying in Jerusalem. You got those two guys in Babylon. Now, here Jeremiah is confronting the leaders of Israel, and he uses the Rechabites as an example. Let's pick up at verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, "Go to the house of the Rechabites, speak to them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink." Then I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, his brothers and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. Verse 5. Then, and I hope we're done with all those hard names at this point. Then I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls full of wine and cups. And I said to them, "Drink wine." But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, "You shall drink no wine, you nor your sons forever. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these. But all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners, where you're pilgrims. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us, to bring no wine all our days, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, nor to build ourselves houses to dwell in, nor do we have vineyard, field, or seed." Verse 10. "But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass," they're saying here, "but it came to pass when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon," that pesky king, came up into the land, "that we said, 'Come, let us go to Jerusalem, for we fear, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem.'" Then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to obey my words? Says the Lord. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For to this day they drink none and obey their father's commandment. But although I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. I have also sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, 'Turn now everyone from his evil way, amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear nor obeyed me.'" We're at verse 16. "Surely the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them. But this people has not obeyed me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on Judah and on all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the doom that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken to them but they have not heard. And I have called to them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father and have kept all his precepts and done according to all that he commanded you, therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. Now, I'm bringing up the Rechabites, and now we all know about the Rechabites. This example of these men, this family, who's used by Jeremiah to really condemn, to show the rebellion and the disobedience of the people of Israel, because God had given them clear instructions. As a matter of fact, God had sent prophets to them quite often, reminding them about what those instructions were, but they continually rejected it. But the Rechabites, they were given this instruction by their father, and we know of no reason why he gave it. He just gave them these commandments. And yet, it wasn't according to the word of God. It wasn't anything like that. But yet, they obeyed what their father, generations before, had commanded them. And you see how there at the end, that even though this wasn't, you know, turn to Exodus chapter 20 and you can see these instructions right here, even though it was the father's commandment to his children, that they benefited from obeying what their father told them to do? How did they benefit? Well, here at the end, and I'm not exactly sure what this means other than that they would continue, but it says there that Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. So there was blessing that came along with their obedience to their father's commandment not to drink wine and the other things that are listed there. That's an example of the blessing of obedience. Sometimes children will not understand why parents are instructing them, telling them to do something. It may not even make very much sense to you, but 9 times out of 10, you're better off to obey what your parents said rather than to rebel against that and question it. You see, what happens is if you only obey with the things that you agree with, it's not really obedience. You're just in agreement, and your will is to do their will, the same thing, so you do it. Obedience is when we go ahead and obey whether we understand it, whether we agree with it or not, but we do it because they are God's given authority in our lives. And it goes beyond that. Kids, if you don't learn to obey your parents, you may not obey the police officer when he pulls you over. You may not obey the government when you're supposed to pay your taxes. You may not obey church leadership when you're in sin and they come to you and rebuke you, or a brother or sister rebukes you in your sin. You may not obey them. The home is really where the foundations of obedience are to be learned. And the reason we see so much of the corruption in our society today is because the home has been attacked. And the leadership of a father in the home, and the mother in a home, and the influence that they should have on their children is under attack and it's been diminished. And that's something, you know, as a church, we encourage families, and one of the ways in which we do that is through LCA, Life Christian Academy, because we seek to encourage families to grow and to be strong, and we want to help provide a place in which parents can send their children to have a community here, not only to do education, but to be supported in good relationships, we would hope, and also so the families can be supported. But that does not supersede the church in their lives. Now, let me give you some other examples here, because I want to look at this topic of obedience and how serious does God take this. If you turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 20. Now, what I'm not going to do here, because I'm going to the books of the law, what I'm not going to do, kids, is throw this in your face and say, hey, the Bible says this, so you better. I'm not doing that at all. What I want to do in looking at these examples is to help us see what God's idea was, what God's standard was, and what the judgment was upon the society of God's people in the Old Testament under the law when children acted wrongly toward their parents. So that's all I'm doing here. All I want to do is show you in the law what God said about this then. It is in no way saying that this is what we should do now. And after we read it, you'll be glad. All right? So Leviticus 20, verse 9 is where we are to begin with. And we'll just entitle this message tonight, to the children of the church, part 2. Okay? So, and then next Sunday morning is going to be part 3. So Leviticus 20, verse 9 says, "For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him." Okay? We don't need a whole lot of context to figure that out. All right? It's not good. All right, let's go to the next one. Exodus chapter 21, verse 15. Actually going backwards here. Exodus 21, verse 15. All right. Again, we don't need a whole lot of context. In verse 15 it says, "And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." All right, so far we're 2 for 2 on the being put to death thing. You curse your parents, you're put to death. Strike your father or your mother, you're put to death. All right, let's go to the next one. Deuteronomy 21. This is the one that's probably real popular that gets thrown up in kids' faces sometimes. Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21. All right, the topic here is the rebellious son. It says, if a man has a stubborn or rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them. So in other words, in verse 18, they have disciplined him. But he refuses to listen. Verse 19. "Then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city, and they shall say to the elders of his city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.'" What does that remind you of? Does that remind you of anything? He's a glutton and a drunkard. Anybody, anything from the New Testament? The prodigal son? Verse 21, "Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death." We're 3 for 3. "Stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." Okay? So God had a purpose in this. The death of a son in a situation like this was exemplary. It's sort of like when an elder in the church is publicly rebuked for some sin in his life, that would happen so that all would fear, so that everyone would look at their own lives and fear being publicly rebuked because of rebellion and sin that they will not repent of. And God wanted it to be the same for the people of Israel. Now, we have no account that I'm aware of this actually occurring, but God's standard was that if a son were to act in this way, and remember, we saw here that the parents were being diligent. And it's also likely that in a case like this, it is assumed that the parents were also diligently teaching the children the Word of God, like we see in Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 11, where rising up and going throughout the day and lying down, they were teaching the Bible to their children, the Shema there in Deuteronomy 6. But yet this son rejected it. He would not obey them. He would not submit to their authority like we see Jesus doing in Luke chapter 2. And because of that, it ultimately ended not in their blessing. It should have ended not in his blessing, but in his, it would end in his death. And it would be as an example to the society of God's people in the Old Testament so that they would all hear and fear. Does that make sense? So three examples there where we see them ending in death as far as what is prescribed in the law. All right, we've got just a few minutes left, so what I want to do here is ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. We've looked at that word obey, hupakuo, the two words in the compound word there, to hear under the authority of someone else, seek to obey it. I want to give you some examples here in the Proverbs. The Proverbs, this is wisdom literature. In other words, if we want to be wise people, we will listen to what the Proverbs say and we will apply that. In many of the Proverbs early on, it is a father writing to his son. These are chapters that are written to sons, to children. All right, so let's look here. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. This is one example, and I won't spend a lot of time on each of these, but I want to try to give you these references. It says here in Proverbs 1, verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction." Think about hearing to obey it, all right? Hapakuo. "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mama." I'm sorry, of your mother. All right? I just had to say that, Alabama. Verse 9, "For they will be a graceful ornament on your head." You'll be recognized as being someone special. "And chains on your neck." You will be adorned with them. There will be something special about you. The father's instruction to hear that. Let's go to the next one. Is in chapter 2, verses 1 and 5. Notice here the if then. If you do this, then this will happen. In chapter 2, verse 1, "My son, my son," so it's a father writing to a son, giving instruction to a son. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment, and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures." There's been a few ifs there, and they all came from the very first if you receive my words. Now, here's the then. If then, verse 5. "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." For a young person who maybe doesn't know the Lord yet, and you, as much as you can, you want to know the Lord, a good track for you to get on is obedience to your parents. Because according to what we see here in the Proverbs, and Proverbs aren't conclusive, but the pattern is, if a person can learn obedience to their parents, they are more likely to learn obedience to God, to follow Him, to have understanding and the fear of the Lord, and to find the knowledge of God. All right, let's go to the next passage, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Again, we see here the word "hear," where He says in chapter 4, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law." Then he goes on in verse 3, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one of in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Then he says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Her being wisdom. Love her, and she will keep you. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. We see the same thing there. And a crown of glory she will deliver to you. And then he goes on, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Do you see there, that's really interesting that in Proverbs 4, not only does he give instruction to his son, but then he says, my father gave me these instructions as well. So the thing about it is, guys, if you don't learn to obey right now yourself, you cannot be assured that you're going to be able to teach your children to obey. And if parents, if we're not teaching and giving our children that which they need to hear from God's Word to obey, how can we be sure that they will instruct their children? It doesn't just stop with us. And we could go on. Our time's really up. But, you know, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, I'll hit these real quick. But he says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. This is that great passage in verse 23 where he says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. He talks about his mouth and his lips and his eyes and his feet. All right? Great passage. Chapter 5, verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. My son, pay attention. Hapakuo. Listen to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding. Chapter 6, verses 20 through 23. May not read all of it. My son, verse 20, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Chapter 7. We'll end with this one. Proverbs 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Chapter 7, verse 2. Keep my commands and what? Live. And my law as the apple of your eye. Did you know that phrase was in the Bible? It's found at least two places. I think it's also in the book of Zephaniah. Bind them on your fingers. When you put something on your fingers, you can't forget it, can you? Man, this thing keeps getting in the way. He says, bind my instruction, my words, on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And call understanding your nearest kin. Verse 5, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. The implication there from that is that the father was instructing the son concerning immorality and the son should listen to what his father says. Now, like I said, I'm ending there with that. We know that the most important thing that fathers should be teaching their children and that children ought to listen to and treasure in their heart is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I say fathers, but mothers as well. John Wesley said that he learned more from his mother about theology than he learned from all the other studies that he had. Now, Timothy was a young man who heard the Holy Scriptures from when? Yeah, from when though? From childhood. And he learned it from grandma and from mom. And those Holy Scriptures were able to make him wise unto what? Salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So children, I know you have been taught the gospel. The thing that I would ask each of you tonight is, have you come to a place in your life where you've embraced by faith the teaching of your parents that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth, and when he died on the cross, he died there because of my sin, because of your sin. And through trusting in him, the one who died and then rose again on the third day, believing in him, that through faith in Christ, we can no longer be under the judgment of God and be guilty sinners, but we can be cleansed and we can be right with God. The exhortation for us that I would leave you with tonight is to embrace the gospel teaching that you have heard and be saved yourself, maybe even tonight. If you need to do that, I would encourage you to call upon the Lord in faith, repenting of your sins. That means we turn from living the way we want to live and we turn to God. And then the Bible tells us that what a person is supposed to do who has done that. The Bible tells us that we are to be baptized. Because in doing so, we show that we are united to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Please bless it tonight. God, we're so privileged to have your word. And I know I've failed and I have sinned so much in my life. And God, I'm just grateful tonight, again, that, Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who could stand? But Lord, with you, there is forgiveness that you may be feared. I pray that all of us tonight would find the forgiveness that you freely offer in Jesus Christ, your Son, that we might be pardoned from our iniquities, and have you truly as our Heavenly Father for all of eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.